Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 493 from the studio, because in this podcast, I'm going to play the entire Bob Davis Podcast's radio show, which I do every week. So I have a production schedule during the week here in the studio where I do my podcasts, and then on Thursday night, I start working on the Bob Davis Podcast radio show, and I usually work all through the night. So I just got up, it's 2 o'clock. And I am drinking my coffee, and I decided what I'm going to do for podcast 493 is actually play the whole Bob Davis Podcast radio show for the week for a couple of reasons. One, people have been saying, well, when is it on and how do I hear it? So I'm going to post it so you can hear what it sounds like. It's really a condensation of all the podcasts I've done during the week, and it's a little different because if you've listened to all the podcasts, then you'll hear how they are slightly changed or how kind of a little bit of sanding brings out certain elements of those podcasts. And if you haven't heard the show, if you haven't heard the podcast, now you can hear what the show actually sounds like, because it gets processed when it goes up to the satellite, and then it gets processed again when it's on the radio. So if you want to listen to it on the radio, it's at 4 p.m. on Saturdays at AM 1280, The Patriot, and I'll announce additional affiliates as we get them, but I wanted people to hear what the show actually sounds like. So here we go. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 24. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. If you want to hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So at the beginning of every Bob Davis Podcast radio show, I take a moment to talk a little bit about who I am and what I do. Now, people who have been listening to me for a while and know me know that I'm a talk show host and a podcaster. I've done just about 500 podcasts, and they're available on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com. I still have to tell people that. Since I have a lot of radio experience, it was almost second nature for me to compare my experience podcasting with my experience working in radio. One of the things that I discovered was that there is a lot of content in podcasts that you don't hear on the radio. So the mission of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, this show, is to take some of the content from my podcasts and bring them back to the radio. I do 2 or 3 or 4 podcasts sometimes a week, and there's a lot of content in those podcasts. So the idea is to create a radio show that brings some of the content in excerpt form from those podcasts back to the radio. So what do we talk about this week in the podcasts? And I guess we'll start with the campaign trail. As the candidates campaign during primary season, you know, the backdrop in all of this, no matter what they're talking about, the backdrop in all of this, and probably issue number one, is what I like to call the just getting by economy. People have asked me recently, hey, would you talk a little bit about the economy? Because over the years, I've done a lot of shows and podcasts about economic issues and interviewed people, and I continue to do a lot of reading about the economic issues. But I'm going to tell you, lately, I've just sort of been watching it from a distance. You know, the president claims that our economy is strong, but I don't think anybody believes that. So in this show, some excerpts from a podcast I did this week about what I call, as I said, the just getting by economy. What is going on out there, and is another shoe about to drop? And it's weird because none of the candidates are really addressing it specifically. And it makes me wonder, do they really know what to do about the economy? Do you think that they know what to do about the economy if elected? I mean, just hold that thought, because I'm going to give you a hint, because ideas and solutions that we had 40 years ago in the U.S. economy aren't going to work very well in the present time frame. and ideas and solutions to problems we had in the U.S. economy 70 to 80 years ago aren't going to work in the present time frame. We have a completely different economic situation than we had in 1979, a completely different economic situation than we had in 1929, even though many Republicans and Democrats seem to think it's the same depending on who you talk to. I'm not sure any of them know what to do about the economy or know what to do about an economy that is growing only very, very slowly at best. We're going to talk about that in this show. Just this week, on the political side, we had primaries in five eastern states, and those primaries changed the contours of media coverage. In other words, the storylines. And I predicted that it would change the storylines right here last week and in all the podcasts I did week before last. On the Republican side, Donald Trump won all five primaries, but he didn't just win out east. He won by wide margins, trouncing Ted Cruz. So then coming up next week, we have the Indiana primary. And again, I expect the storylines to change depending on who wins that race. If Donald Trump wins Indiana, it's just going to solidify the storyline that he is the inevitable nominee of the Republican Party. Not true. If Ted Cruz wins Indiana, then it's going to be that he's really going to get the nomination. And that may not be true either. The fact that these storylines are fantasies is apparently lost on many people these days, as they seem to be completely engaged in support for personalities and the on-the-come kind of stories out there, rather than observing this process from an objective perch, which you would think people might be doing, as this is just the primary season and not the actual election. So at the end of the week, perhaps because of his crushing losses in this week's primaries, Senator Ted Cruz announced Californian Carly Farina would be his vice presidential candidate. Now, keep in mind, Ted Cruz can't offer Carly Farina anything since he isn't a nominee right now. He's just a sitting senator running for a presidential nomination for a political party. So what is Carly Farina other than a woman who suspended her presidential campaign after a dismal performance in Iowa? She's really nothing in the political world. Any reasonable person would have to conclude that this was nothing more than a publicity stunt or even a Hail Mary pass on the part of Cruz in the hopes that it will help him win Indiana or California later this spring. I wouldn't hold my breath on either of those fronts. One might also conclude that it could be one of the dumbest things a candidate could do before a convention, or that this is actually a sign of weakness. One of the things I did this week is go back and look at the 1960 campaign on the Democrat side, and it would do us all well to do a little reading on Kennedy in 1960, because if he had been able to announce his preferred vice presidential choice, which was Missouri's Stu Symington, before the convention, he would not have been able to nominate Lyndon Johnson and might not have carried Texas, and the election in 1960 might have been completely different. This is why we have conventions, folks, is to solve these kinds of problems. And as far as who's closest to the nomination at this point, well, it might be a good idea to go through the upcoming primaries and actually take a look at the possibilities for Cruz, Kasich, and Trump on the Republican side. So we're going to do that. You're hearing an awful lot of idle talk these days about who's going to win the nomination and how it's only a matter of a few more primaries and it's going to be a fait accompli either for Trump or Cruz on a second or third ballot. But if you take a little time and you actually look at the upcoming primaries and you look at how many delegates are possible, what the situation and how it lays out in terms of how delegates are selected in each of those states, I still don't think that we're in a position to be able to say that anyone is actually going to have 1,237 delegates at the Republican National Convention. On the Democrat side, it's a little bit more solidified, but on the Republican side, it seems to be getting more and more unfocused. Then, I've often talked about how people seem to be watching politics on television as entertainment and getting caught up in the drama of politics on television as entertainment. And I've wondered whether that is a good thing. But what about watching hours and hours of entertainment programming exclusively, drama, you know, comedies, things of that nature, or even sports? Because a lot of us do that, myself included. So this week I counted up all of the shows that I watch, and I counted up all the screen hours from binge watching shows like House of Cards or YouTube, social media, all the screen time. And as a result, I started to wonder, what is the overall effect of all this? What would a complete media cleanse actually be like? And I mean turning it all off. I think I'd be in the hospital. Think about the shows you watch, from entertainment and drama to sports or even political news. Think about your social media consumption. Think about how things might be different in your life if you didn't watch them, if you didn't spend hours in front of a screen, whether it's your smartphone, your pad, your computer, or your TV at a time. I don't know if I can even think about that. So coming up, I call it the just getting by economy, and we're going to talk about what it is, and I'm going to ask why the leading candidates really aren't talking about 2016 so much as they seem to be talking about economic solutions from 1979 and 1929. Is that a good thing? You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, go to thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Back in the studio, just ahead of segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show, which is also podcast 493. A little complicated, but anyway, I like to number all the shows, like podcast 24, podcast 493, GCN show 24, that kind of crazy stuff. Anyway, I should mention very quickly that it is getting warmer, and that means it's time for an AC check from Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Why? Because AC systems can be pretty complicated, especially for business, and you want to have people come out and check them to make sure that they are operating. And as soon as it's 70 degrees, you can have that done. Call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Brian Plumbing and Heating goes metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And for business, it's key, especially for emergencies. They do great emergency service. Wherever you are in the metro, they can get a plumber to you. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. Again, for emergency service, for AC checks, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. And thanks again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay, let's do segment two. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome back. So I told you I was going to talk about the economy, so here we go. The president has been saying this week that the United States economy is doing much better than it was when he took office. And technically, he's right. The U.S. economy has been in recovery for some time. Unemployment is down. Inflation remains low. Interest rates are low. What's not to like? The problem is it doesn't feel like prosperity because it isn't. What we have is nominal GDP growth of less than 1% to 1.5%, depending on the quarter. People aren't getting ahead so much as they're just getting by. why. And so if you ask, well, why do we have slower growth? We have overcapacity throughout the world in manufacturing. And why? Well, because primarily in China, there was overinvestment by governments in manufacturing, in overbuilding. So they overbought steel and overbuy energy and everything else, and they've overbuilt. This is where we're talking about the empty cities, but it isn't just cities. It's bridges, it's highways, it's buildings in places like, you know, Pudong and Beijing, and housing and all sorts of things. Some say central banks, so the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan, the ECB, etc., are creating too much fiat currency. This is the injection of money into the banks in an effort to quote-unquote prime the pumps, the old Keynesian idea that you have to get people to consume, so you spend government money to get people to try to get money out into the economy, give people jobs so then they can go buy consumer goods. Well, that's really an old way of looking at things, and there's a big debate about whether stimulating demand is actually the solution, because some people believe that you have to stimulate the supply. In other words, you have to cut taxes and spending. I'm getting very frustrated with supply-siders being described as people who want to only cut taxes, and we don't have anywhere to go. We can't cut taxes any further. Well, we can cut corporate taxes, and frankly, we ought to cut them to zero. You know, we can cut individual taxes throughout the progressive tax system by changing the system. I'm not saying I advocate these things, but there are all kinds of options for this. And we can certainly cut spending at the federal level, and we can return more to the individual to allow individuals to figure out how they want to spend their money and so forth. I think another reason that we have slow growth is there's a huge amount of money being diverted into insurance. I just noted that one of the largest growth areas for the economy was healthcare spending. So what does that tell you? It tells you that people coming into the system through Obamacare are paying, or the government is paying, for healthcare, and that doesn't do anything. That money is just insurance. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't buy anything. It doesn't create anything. It doesn't do anything about using any of these new technologies, materials, and energy. And so the political effects of this are you are now seeing a pushback on wages. You are seeing a big pushback on the types of employment. There's a big big debate about the so-called 1099 economy. You see riots and fights and political fights over Uber, which is the poster child for the 1099 economy. You are seeing articles about how terrible it is to work for companies today and who wants to do that. And these big tech companies are slave drivers and people are crying at their desks and everything else. Let me tell you something. In my time, I saw people throw chairs through walls or, you know, dent walls with chairs. I saw people clearing their desks back in the old days and the unquote tech economy. I saw an awful lot of demonstrations of frustration in New York City when I worked there. So, you know, this isn't limited to just, Silicon Valley and the horrible things that the slave drivers at those Silicon Valley companies do. If you think it's terrible to work for a Silicon Valley company, just think how terrible it is not to work. At the same time, there's all these articles about how terrible it is to work for yourself. And working for yourself is fantastic. Even if you don't make much money, working for yourself is fantastic. And I'm going to tell you why right now. I wasn't going to do this until the end, but I'm going to tell you right now. The reason is, when you go through and you do your profit and loss and you look at all the money that you spent versus the money you've taken and figure out where you're going to pay your taxes and how, and you come to the realization that 25 to 30% increase in revenue is a huge change in lifestyle if you're in a small business. And those of you who do anything, you know what I'm talking about. If you pour concrete, and I don't care if you're making $1 million or $100,000 or $30,000, if you can increase your revenues by 20 to 25%, it's a huge change in your lifestyle just because you have more money to spend in the business, you have more money to figure out how to build, and yet to increase revenue. And this is the name of the game in business. And it's really exciting when you realize, well, how would I do that? You know, well, I can do it this way, I can do it that way. It's up to me. If I want to get up tomorrow earlier than noon, you know, I'll probably get up at noon and go buy a cup of coffee and go to my tax appointment. Or I can get up at 8 and make some calls and try to generate some income, right? So it's entirely up to you. That's what's great about it, because you can work as hard as you want, and you can work not as hard as you want, depending on where you're at. So it's not terrible to work for yourself, and it certainly isn't terrible to be in the freelance 1099 economy. Certainly, some people don't make money, but on the other hand, some people do because they hustle. And you see it in the demands for higher minimum wages and immigration, because those two right there are mutually exclusive, because if you pay people wages that are too high, then companies are going to go try to hire people that will work for lower wages, because wage is a cost. It isn't a right. You don't have a right to a wage. You have the right to try to bring your wares to market. But if you can only do one thing, like push a broom, you're probably not going to get paid $15 an hour, right? Well, what all this is the birth pangs of a new economy. And it is an economy, but it's more than that. It's an industrial revolution. That is, it's a revolution in the way things are made. It's a revolution in the way things are delivered. It's a revolution in the way things are purchased, how they're paid for. It's an industrial revolution, similar to what happened in this country around 1900 and then again in 1950. And what is coming, this revolution, may be more upsetting, undermining, and disruptive than the previous industrial revolution that culminated in 1950 and kind of got going in 1900, but really started in the United States in 1830 and in Britain, thank you, Margaret Martin, in the late 1700s. No one is talking about this in the media right now. None of the politicians are talking about it, because nobody wants to take up the question of how this is stimulated and how we can make it happen faster, because they don't know, because they are all trapped in old thinking. Next, this week's primaries produced big changes in the storylines, but it doesn't mean much for either Cruz, Kasich, or Trump, and I'll tell you why next. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Well, everybody knows that one of the cornerstones of the BobDavisPodcasts.com is, of course, the Ford 450 Super Duty Diesel Ambulance, better known as Mobile Podcast Command. I love Mobile Podcast Command. I love that truck. And it came from xgovernmentcars.com. And I want to remind everybody that the X-Government Trucks Mega Truck Center is now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota. This is where they got the great X-Government cars and the great X-Government trucks as well. They're at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Fast financing for all credit levels at xgovernmenttrucks.com and xgovernmentcars.com. You can get work trucks, SUVs, vans, and more. They have the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, so you buy with confidence, and they take trades. Ed Johnson at X Government Cars and X Government Trucks is always telling me, make sure you tell people we pay the highest values every day without all of the bull. And because it's tax time, if you have your tax return receipt or whatever documentation you have and you haven't got the return yet, you can take that, and that can help you get the financing. And remember, the main thing is they can finance all credit levels. People in business really appreciate this as well. Remember, xgovernmentcars.com. They also have the great X-Government cars, the Crown Vicks, the Dodge Chargers, the Chevy Impalas, the Ford Police sedans, and the Ford Police SUVs. You know, these cars and trucks are, fleet maintained, and then X-Government Cars makes them ready for you. Once again, xgovernmentcars.com in Forest Lake, 356 19th Street, 763-777-8782, or check them out at xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, let's get ready for segment 3. Here we go. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Welcome back. So this week, five big primaries in the eastern United States delivered results that suddenly have Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party and Hillary Clinton as the presumptive nominee of the Democrats, if you pay attention to what the media says. Now, you can certainly make the case that Clinton's nomination is a little bit more likely given the results that occurred this week. But I don't think you can see the Republican picture as any more focused, even though the media is trying to tell you that it's more focused. Coming up next week is the Indiana primary, and the week after, a series of primaries that I don't think are going to make the picture any clearer. Who thinks Cruz is going to win New Jersey? I think it's going to be the same story. New Jersey, again, at best with Republicans, it's moderate, so that puts Trump in the driver's seat, or possibly Kasich, although I wouldn't hold my breath. So next week's primaries are going to be a big turning point, and the primary in Indiana is going to be a big turning point, but only if Trump wins Indiana. Now, if Cruz wins Indiana, which is possible, Indiana's very conservative. Obviously, the northern part of Indiana, when we talk about Gary and we talk about Elkhart and we talk about, Muncie and places like that, it's hard to tell whether they are a little bit, are perhaps a little bit more moderate as they go. But Indiana is a very conservative state, and I would think Cruz would run well in Indiana, but the polls are all showing that Trump is doing well in Indiana. So it's hard to tell who's going to win in that place. If Cruz wins Indiana, which is possible, then the storylines are going to change back to his delegate wrangling and the possibilities that he will seize delegates from Trump and so forth. Again, this is all manipulation. It's just blah, 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 because just because Cruz wins Indiana doesn't mean that he's going to win the nomination. And just because Trump wins Indiana doesn't mean that he's going to win the nomination. And these people on TV keep saying the dumbest things. Chuck Todd said tonight, quote, "We're going to look back on tonight and say it was the beginning of the primary. Well, first of all, I said that 2 weeks ago. Because by definition, it is the beginning of the end of the primaries. They are all going to end on June 7th or thereabouts. It's basically May 1st. So yeah, there's 1 month left in this thing. Iowa was in February. So we are at the beginning of the end of the primaries, whether Joe Schmo gets the nomination or Donald Trump or somebody else. Now, of course, he was saying Trump's got it. It's the beginning of the end and so forth. But I don't think that that is something that you can say. I think it's just more clickbait. It's more rife speculation. And, you go through and you go to the delegate counters and you give, you'd have to give every state to Trump. And I'm going to talk about what's coming up next right now, because I don't think that you can say that Trump is going to get all these states, and it could be a mixed bag. So what's next? May 3rd, Indiana, which is where it is supposedly winner take all. And I'm going to talk about the delegate selection process in these states in a second. West Virginia and Nebraska on May 10th. Now, Nebraska is a winner-take-all state for the Cornhuskers. I had to say Cornhuskers, but the Cornhusker state is winner-take-all. West Virginia's delegates are supposedly directly elected, so I don't know how that works. I don't want to speculate there. So just because Donald Trump maybe wins West Virginia doesn't mean that he will get all the delegates from West Virginia. Oregon is on May 17th. It is supposedly proportional. This is a state that Kasich may not campaign in. I don't know if that helps Cruz or not. I know that Oregon, Eastern Oregon is obviously different from Portland and Western Oregon and the coasts. You know, there's a lot more conservative voters in Western Oregon, but I haven't been out there in a long time either, so I don't know what the story is going to be there. Washington State is on May 24th, and it is proportional. Here again, Seattle, Olympia, the west coast of Washington is probably pretty, moderate for Republicans, but the western part of the state, which is a large part of the state, it may not be. South Dakota, New Mexico, New Jersey, Montana, and California are on June 7th, and that's a mixed bag. South Dakota is winner-take-all. New Mexico is proportional. New Jersey is winner-take-all. Montana is winner-take-all. And California is winner-take-all. But In all of these primaries, states have different methods of actually choosing delegates. So a win by any candidate may not mean what is reported to be. Let me give you an example. You know, I was surprised because I didn't know this, because I've been looking at the delegate counts at Real Clear Politics as the gospel. But I read tonight the fine print, and the fine print is that AP does the delegate counts, and AP's little disclaimer is, among other things, AP's delegate counts include estimates and data from interviews from delegates. So it's not a real delegate count. It's their analysis and estimate of the delegate count. Here's an example, another example. Pennsylvania allocates statewide delegates. So if you win the state, you win 17 statewide delegates, but from congressional districts, they allocate differently. So far in Pennsylvania, which is, you know, referred to as a winner-take-all prize, Trump only has 17 delegates. So I don't know how the rest of the allocations are going to work with the congressional districts in Pennsylvania. You will be able to go online and look at the individual congressional districts. And again, you'll have a little bit more knowledge than I would, because I haven't looked at those for Pennsylvania. And again, you will have a little bit more knowledge than someone, for example, who ABC's exit polls, as I said in a previous podcast. But I don't think you can say, you know, Trump's going to win all those Pennsylvania delegates. It's ridiculous when you start going through all these states' methods for choosing delegates. But if you've been listening for a while, you know that delegates choose the candidates in giant, bold, black caps. Not the percentage of popular primary votes, not whether it's a winner-take-all state, not any of those things, because it depends on whether delegates are binded beyond a first, second, or third ballot. It depends on how they're allocated. It depends on how they're chosen, and on and on and on. I would think Cruz has a better chance to win Indiana than Trump. As I said, obviously Trump will do better in the Garden State of New Jersey than Cruz or Kasich, but it depends on what is happening in those campaigns at the time of those primaries, which are coming up. Kasich and Cruz, as I said before, now have this supposed agreement not to campaign in Indiana and Oregon, respectively, so that one can get a larger percentage of the vote. For example, if you look at any of the states out east, that I say out east because I'm in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But if you look at the states that Trump won by 55% of the vote, let's say, if either Kasich or Cruz had not campaigned, that might mean that one of them would have been able to garner 40% of the vote, which would have meant more delegates for them. So that's their strategy, is trying to see that they are able to at least keep Trump from getting enough delegates to actually get to 1237. This 1237 number is going to be increasingly difficult for Trump to get to as we continue down the line, specifically because of these kinds of things. Now, I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, so I can't tell you how it's going to roll out. But, you know, there's a lot of hoops here that have to be jumped through. Not only are there, you know, proportional states in the mix, but those states are all going to choose their delegates through other processes, and these campaigns are going to be part of it. So it's not just a matter of looking at a map and saying this state has this many delegates, and it's not like electoral votes at this point. They are giving you that impression, but they're not bound to the popular vote. Coming up next on the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So this week, I realized I spend an awful lot of time watching dramas on TV. What shows do you watch? Is it a distraction? And what is all this screen time doing to us? To hear all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Back in the studio, just ahead of segment four of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Don't forget, ex-government cars is now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. Work trucks, SUVs, vans, fast financing for all credit levels. The three-day peace of mind guarantee. They pay the highest values every day for trades. 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, 763-777-8782.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
And Ryan Plumbing and Heating, just ahead of the hot weather, you want to have somebody check the AC to make sure it works. Also, for emergency service in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online, ryanplumbing.com. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome back. So, to end the show, I want to talk about TV, because I love TV, and I always have, and I often rail about television coverage of the political races and how we shouldn't watch TV and so forth. But when it comes to drama, the shows that are on the cable channels and the shows you can download from iTunes and Netflix, shows like The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and House of Cards and Game of Thrones and Sons of Anarchy, well, I spend a lot of time watching TV. Maybe it's time to go cold turkey. What do you think these shows do to us individually and collectively? Is it all harmless entertainment? Maybe. And maybe not. If you count the screen time on YouTube, and I'm doing a lot of YouTube now, and I don't know whether it is that I'm all fired up and heated up from reading so much news and doing yoga and stuff like that, and then come home and apparently need the cool down through television. But so I'll watch a couple shows, and then before I go to bed, I'll watch YouTube because it relaxes me. And this is when you count the YouTube stuff, and just very quickly, the YouTube stuff is completely different than people say. I watch news on YouTube. No, there's not much news on YouTube. I mean, I know it's there, but most of the stuff on YouTube that I see that has the most views are all of the Prince was murdered by the Illuminati. Beyonce is part of the plot. You have to eat a baby to be on the Council of 12. It's all this crazy stuff. One of my favorites is this guy. I actually should go get my phone, because there's this guy. His name is William Mount. This guy does these videos in his dining room, and his wife or girlfriend sits behind the camera, so you don't see her, but you hear her because she asks him questions. And he makes all these predictions, like in 7 days, the entire banking system is going to fall apart. And then, of course, they don't come true. And so then he says, your prayers are having an effect on it. It's great. And so YouTube is just filled with amateur people doing the craziest stuff. And it's really fun to watch. And, you know, I often talk when I go out and I talk about technology. And I talk about technology amplifying the individual in ways that we never expected. And I'll talk about these young people who will start doing tarot card readings or astrology, or they'll do makeup videos, and they get millions of views. You know, they'll put up a video and it'll have 7,000 views in like 5 days. And it's, you know, the makeup stuff, the fashion stuff, you know, works better than the tarot card stuff and the astrology stuff. But there are just, what's great is it's interesting because these product categories are just chock full of people doing this stuff from all over the world. And it's fascinating that we have this capability to put up a YouTube channel, and you shoot it on your iPhone 6, and you don't need to do anything. You don't need to You know, I keep thinking, well, if I do a YouTube channel, I want to make it, you know, I don't want to just have me sitting in front of a microphone doing my podcast. You know, that's nothing interesting. And yet I talk to people that say, that's what you should do. You should just shoot yourself, you know, doing the podcast and do it that way. And who cares? Because people are putting stuff up by just shooting it with their smartphone, and they don't even have a good video camera, and they're putting it up and they get, you know, 1,000 or more views. It's very interesting what is happening. So if you count the other thing, which is that Twitter and Facebook are both becoming delivery systems for video in some way, shape, or form. So if you have a smartphone and you go on Facebook because you're waiting in line for something, or, you know, you're... like if I'm at yoga and I'm waiting to get in because they're still cleaning the room or something, there'll be 16 people standing in line to go in the studio, and you're just going to stand there. And people just go, they get their phone and they start looking at Facebook, and you can just watch people cycling through Facebook, and you can see the videos, because what'll happen is when a video comes up, it starts to move because as soon as you pull it onto the screen, it starts to play. You don't hear the audio, but it starts to play. So you can see that video moving. And I keep thinking about what people would think if they came from another time and they saw this. They would think it was just Buck Rogers stuff. And I hate to sound dated, but that's what they used to call it back in the day. It was based on the character Buck Rogers with all his, you know, rocket belt and all that kind of stuff. And it's like today the tools in our hands are so powerful, and Facebook, I don't even think people comment that much on Facebook anymore. Everybody just puts up a video and then people like it and that's it. And, you know, like, it's just bizarre. So if you stop and think about the screen time, and, you know, Twitter's going that way too. And apparently Snapchat, and I mentioned Periscope, which is live videos. People can do live. And I love Periscope because Periscope is just, you can go on Periscope anytime and people are doing live videos and interacting with viewers in real time. And they're like college students in Vladivostok and a couple of dudes driving around LA and stuff like that. And it's interesting because the other thing is when something happens, like Prince, let's say, then people throw up a bunch of Periscope videos and they throw up stuff on Facebook right away. So this is very interesting because it's in the new, this is very new. And I think I would say that it's been going on for a while. It's been developing for a while, but it seems like it's reaching a critical mass these days. And what's happened here is that this is a super addictive. It's becoming, you know, we're doing a lot of screen time, and it isn't on portables. It's on phones or it's on televisions. And I really noticed it when I went out and covered the campaigns and did the big trip this late winter and spring. I noticed that something was missing. And you know, I was driving, like, you know, I would drive 18 hours and then go into action. And I would sleep for a little while and I would get up and drive another 10 hours and go into action. And what's interesting about it is, I realized that driving was taking the place of watching television, and it was oddly similar because you're in front of a giant screen, basically your windscreen, your windshield, and you're watching the world go by. And maybe that's why I love it so much. So the takeaway here would be, if you watch a lot of stuff. Now, some guys watch a lot of sports. I do think people are watching politics as entertainment, and it engages you at a different level. I don't think it cools you down. I think it heats you up. That's news has a different effect on people as opposed to drama and comedy and TV shows and sports events and stuff. So I know a lot of my friends watch a lot of sports. And maybe we need to, because maybe things are just so intense now that we feel this need to just kind of cool off by doing this. And then, of course, and I don't play video games, but there are a lot of people that play video games. You know, the news cleanse idea was, I'm not doing any news. Maybe what I might do is a complete, entertainment cleanse, and just turn off the television for a month, turn off everything for a month, and just say, you know, I'm not doing any of it. I think I'll start going stir crazy, because I stopped watching the news and stop scanning for the news. And that was an interesting experience. But what if you didn't do that? And then comes the question of what does television do to us? Is this a waste of time? If I have to ask the question, the answer is yes. The other question is, does this cause a person to live in a dream world? Are these shows manipulative? Well, think of something like The Walking Dead or Breaking Bad. Very real themes that resonated with people when those shows were the most popular. Same with Mad Men. Same with The Sopranos. But I think the real question is to examine feelings from watching these shows. Your heartbeat, your breath rate, and interest in specific characters. And then think about certain kinds of literature. Why do we need entertainment, sports, drama, and comedy as much as we do, apparently? Do we watch them because they're there, and so we are consuming them in large numbers very quickly, or do we know what we're doing? What if we did not have them? But in our modern society, it's a little different. It does a lot more than just relax you. Is it Aldous Huxley's Soma? And how would your life change if you didn't watch as much TV as you do, Bob Davis? I'm kind of asking myself that question. Maybe we'll find out. Well, that's going to do it for this installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks for joining us. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Bye-bye. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. And I want to salute the digital sponsor, thebobdavispodcast.com. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, don't forget Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. They started the AOA revolution. The bottom line is you need to have a visual representation of your AOA when you're turning on final approach. It saves lives. Alpha Systems is FAA approved. They want to get it into your plane's package today. Click on Alpha Systems, the banners at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast, for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks to everybody for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show on the Patriot AM 1280 at 4 p.m. on Saturday in Minneapolis and St. Paul. As I get new affiliates, I'll announce them. Thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, and thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. Also appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Click on the yellow donate button and you're in business. So there you go. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show for this week. I may do this in the future. I may not. I kind of like the first segment because that's something that's new content, because those are not included. That first segment is not included in the podcast. So it's kind of a summary. Let me know what you think at bdavis7843. You can use the comment page right there at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks for listening right off the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, the planes are coming in, so it's time to shut the studio down and have a weekend. So happy Friday, happy weekend. I'm going to take a little break because it's the end of the month, and I will see you again Tuesday. The next podcast I'll do will be Tuesday night after the May 3rd Indiana primary, I think. I might do another one if something happens, but I think it'll be then. So anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 493, naked in the studio. Bye-bye. Okay.